Good morning, church. It is really good to see you all here today on this special day in our lives, Mother's Day, right? This was a day set aside almost 100 years ago, 1914, by Woodrow Wilson, our president, to honor mothers. It had been practiced before that. It just became official in 1914. And you know, we've been doing this series on the spiritual disciplines. Well, today we're going to take a break from that to talk about mothers. And the title of the sermon today is Thank You God for Mothers. And you know, I feel totally fine doing that because, you know, there's some holidays that it's like, well, I'm not going to break out to do a special St. Paddy's Day sermon, you know, or something. Or, you know, Columbus Day sermon, you know, really, you know, wring that spiritual value out of that. But with Mother's Day, it's not that hard to do that because it is a very important topic in the Bible. We all know just from everyday life that mothers are extremely important. They're very unique and important to every society and to our own personal lives. In fact, they're so important that one guy actually wrote a dictionary. It's called the Mother's Dictionary. And I don't know if you guys have seen it. I'll read just a few excerpts from it. Kind of definitions, you know, that mothers might use. So, under D, you'll find dumb waiter. One who asks if the kids would care to order dessert. Okay. Or under T, you find top bunk, where you should never put a child wearing Superman jammies. Okay. You know. Or how about sterilize? What you do to your first baby's pacifier by boiling it, and to your last baby's pacifier by blowing on it. You know that, right? And then my personal favorite under H, hearsay. What toddlers do when anyone mutters a bad word. Hearsay, right? Okay, right. All right, well, we know that they're extremely important in our own personal lives, and the Bible speaks a lot about mothers. It values them greatly, and I want to mention some of that this morning just as we get going. The Bible honors mothers a lot, and just three little examples of this from the Bible make it clear. The fifth commandment, right in the middle of the Ten Commandments that John just read for us, is this reference to honor your father and your mother. And it's interesting, the first four commandments have to do with how we relate to God, right? Don't have any other gods besides me, and don't take the Lord's name in vain, and blah, 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 this kind of thing. But as soon as he starts talking about the relationship between you and other people, the first one is your relationship with your father and your mother. It makes the big ten. And it's the first of the six that have to do with human relations. Honor your father and your mother. We could also point to Jesus and his mother. You know, Jesus, throughout his ministry, when Pharisees or people that wanted to, you know, gain some religious benefit by doing other things, but it required them to take away some of the money that they were using to support their mother, he condemns them. And I find it very important to us that in John chapter 19, the gospel writer who tells us in chapter 20 that there are lots of things that Jesus did that I haven't told you about, but he records the fact that when Jesus is hanging on the cross, struggling for breath, suffering in agony, he looks down and he sees his mother. He says, "Woman, behold your son and behold your mother." Passing her off to John, the disciple, so that she would be taken care of when he was gone. He was doing what a good son should do, right to the last. And we could also look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, maybe a passage that we may not be as familiar with, but I think we should become more familiar with. Paul gives these instructions to Timothy regarding widows. He says in verse 3, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these, meaning their children and grandchildren, should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family. And so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. Further on in verse 8, it says this, and this is important, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Wow! Worse than an unbeliever if you don't take care of your mom is basically what Paul is saying. So the Bible speaks highly of mothers, and so should we. And it's appropriate for us today to stop and say, thank you, God, for mom. Why should we be thankful to mom specifically? I want to just point out a few things that you should think about, that I'm reflecting on as we think about our mothers today. There are several reasons why we should thank God for moms. First, she gave you life, and she sustained it. You take a look at those pictures, right? A little baby up there on the left, and the baby in the middle eating, and then on the right, I found that picture of a book, you know, How to Feed a Teenage Boy, Recipes and Strategies. Because you need one, right? My mom had four boys, and I don't know how she did it with the feeding us, but anyway, they eat a lot, don't they? She brought you into the world. And there's a whole lot that goes into that. Now, I'm not an expert, but six times I've seen how this happens, and it's pretty intense, right? Do you have a pulse? Are you alive today? Are you breathing? If you're here, I hope that's all true, okay? Someone brought you into the world. Someone went through a lot of pain and toil and bodily discomfort to bring you here so that you come into this world. It's not comfortable. Sicknesses, mood swings, acid reflux, sore back, sore shoulders, sore fill in the blank, big belly, nothing fits, swelling ankles, all of those kinds of things. She endured that to bring you into this world. Hours of pain and contractions to bring you here. Some of you, the woman that you know as mother, well, she didn't give birth to you. You were blessed to be adopted. You were brought into a family. They chose you to come into their family. Even though she didn't give birth to you, she is just as much your mom. She sustained your life. The real work began when you came home from the hospital. She fed you, often burped, and stayed up late in the night, forsook sleep, changed diapers. What was it, 6 or 7 diapers a day for a newborn? That's a lot of diapers to go through and change. And they have to be changed. And she did it even though she didn't necessarily want to. She fed you again, burped, and then the cycle started all over again. She clothed you, sheltered you, protected you, nursed you in sickness. And mothers have this innate ability to nurse their children to health. For example, when the kids wake up in the night and they're sick, they want mom, usually not dad. I'm usually kind of the second. She's like the first on the beaches, and I'm like the reserve troops that come in later, and I've got the bucket, you know. And she's the first on the scene, you know. Get in there. They want her because she's got this ability. And then we could specifically talk about the food. Just keeping you fed and healthy was a massive chore. Think about the number of meals she cooked or prepared for you. Now, I did the math. If typical 18-year-old, right, 3 times a day, guess how many meals that is she made for you? 20,000. Wait, 19,900 and something or other is what it comes out to. That's a lot of meals that she made for someone else, for you. To sustain your life. She gave you life. She sustained your life. And that's why you should honor your mother. Lord, we thank you for our mothers. She shaped your character as well. A few years ago, a friend of mine told me about the fact that he was driving downtown Portland. And some of you know, if you drive downtown Portland, watch out. You know? And he bumped into a car he was, you know, backing in, and he just made this little tiny scratch, okay? And being the very ethical man that he is, he wrote a note and wrote out his name, and here's my, you know, number, give me a call, and we'll sort this out, I'll make sure everything's okay. And so, the guy calls him up, and the first thing he says is, wow, your Mama taught you well. Your mama taught you well, young man. And you could have said, wait a minute, how did he know that, right? He assumed that it was the mother. And that's because it's mom who does that instructs us when we're young. She shapes our characters, and we understand this. Moms have indelibly shaped our characters. She taught us right from wrong. It was mom who first instilled the moral sense in you. Whether it was manners, that is, when somebody gives you something, you say thank you, and if you want something, you say please. She helped you through that, which started to shape you and what kind of a person you would be in this life. And she guided you through her gentle hand, but sometimes not so gentle hand, right? I'll never forget the time that I was marched back into the Cost Cutter grocery store in Mount Vernon, Washington, because I did something I shouldn't have done. I took a pack of zebra gum. You guys remember the zebra gum? It's really good, isn't it? Anyway, I stuck that in my pocket when I got in the car. I thought, where'd you get that? And I was marched back into that grocery store, and I had to give it back to the manager and all this kind of thing. I'll never forget that, and it taught me something. She was shaping me in that significant incident. And maybe she was late getting somewhere, but she took the time to shape my character. She taught us pearls of wisdom. Take a look at some of these passages from Proverbs chapter 1. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Later on in chapter 31 of Proverbs, which is a really significant point, I believe. Proverbs chapter 31, which we often refer to as the golden woman, the worthy woman, the Wonder Woman, whatever you want to call it, chapter of the Bible, right? But look at how it starts out, chapter 31, the sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. Now, scholars agree 100% that what you see from verse 2 down to verse 9 is definitely what he is referring to. So at least those 9 verses, this is what this king, his mother taught him this, and now he's repeating it and passing on, and ends up in Scripture. But some scholars think it may be the whole chapter. It's stuff that his mother taught him that found its way into Scripture. What did she teach him? Well, you see in verse 3, she taught him about relationships. Do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings, he says. Secondly, about the dangers of alcohol and substance abuse, verses 4 down through verse 7. She also taught him about looking out for the weak and the poor in society, especially when he becomes a king. And if we were to take the rest of chapter 31 as from his mother, he also said, here's what you look for in a wife. Here's what you want to see, young man, in a wife. And young man, I just want to take a moment to tell you, pay attention to what your mom says. When you start shopping or looking for a wife one day, that sounds bad, doesn't it? eBay, whatever. No, don't use eBay. Pay attention to what your mom says. She knows women. She is one, okay? She understands them in a way that you probably will never understand, okay? Listen to her advice, and that's what Lemuel is saying here as well. How much of our daily activity is shaped by things our mother told us? Moms are especially good at passing along those pearls of wisdom that seem as if they'd come down from Mount Sinai itself, right? Some of these things you may be familiar with, some that I remember. How about life is not fair? How many of you heard that one? Mom, that's not fair. She gears up for that. Life is not fair, young man. How about when I say, well, everybody else is going wherever? If everybody jumped off a cliff, would you jump off too? Okay, you guys know these, right? Or how about if I say something bad? If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And we could go on and on. In fact, I found a couple that I hadn't thought of. One guy said, my mother taught me about anticipation. when she would say, "Just wait until your father gets home." Well, how about, my mother taught me about logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. Yes. Well, my mother taught me about humor. When a lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My personal favorite, my mother taught me about contortionism. Will you look at that dirt on the back of your neck? I mean, how do you do that, right? Okay, we could go on and on and on, but I'll spare you. The point is, Mom passed along those pearls of wisdom, the things that you will remember, I'll remember throughout our life, because she's shaping our character. She taught you about life. How many relationships has Mom guided you through? How many friendship struggles has Mom helped you navigate? How many difficulties with teachers or coworkers, fellow students or spouses has Mom helped you deal with? We could go on and on. Mom helped us with all those things. She shaped our character, and that's why we honor Mom. Thank you, Lord, for Mom. Finally, she introduced you to God. I love this picture of this mother cradling this young boy, and he's learning how to pray. Last week we talked about learning to pray. Here she's teaching him the fundamentals of how to relate to the God that loves him. The greatest things that Mom did for you is to introduce you to God, to teach you about your Heavenly Father and His love for you. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul makes some references to Timothy. And he's referring to this relationship that he evidently had with his mother and his grandmother. There's some interesting things there. "I've been reminded of your sincere faith," verse 5, "which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Over in chapter 3, verse 14, Paul says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." The power of the godly mother is incredible. She modeled the Christian life to you and introduced you to God in a powerful way. If you are in Christ today, there is a very good chance it is because of your mom. If you are forgiven your sins and looking forward to eternal life in God's presence, there's a very good likelihood that it's because of your mom. And if you have the joy of being a Christian in this life, if you enjoy the fellowship of the body of Christ and the church and the extended family that it is, it's likely because of your mom. There's an old Spanish proverb that says, "An ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest." An ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest. She's the one that will introduce you to God and show you Him on a daily basis. Research is bearing this point out. Barna did a study back in 2007 in which he interviewed different households and did a survey and discovered what we've known anecdotally and all of our lives and for 2,000 years, that mothers are so important to the spiritual development of their children. He says, "Mothers inhabit many roles inside and outside the family. Within the household, they are often counted on to be emotional compass, organizer, multitasking manager of the family. Add to that list another common function, spiritual energizer. Men may enjoy advantages in physical strength, but they are much less likely than women to exercise their spiritual muscles. This gender gap extends to the typical family unit. Mothers outpace fathers in terms of spiritual activity and commitment." And this is based on surveys that he's done of thousands of families, and you just compare them side by side. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a very important place for dad in the family spiritual dynamic. He's supposed to be the leader of the family. And we will talk about that in June, okay? That's Father's Day. But today, let's point out the fact that mothers shape you. And we thank God for that. They have a critical role, and we thank God for that. What did she do? Well, she read you the Bible stories, taught you to pray, brought you to church, brought you to Sunday school, made sure you went to Yamhill, even though maybe she sacrificed some other things so she could pay for you to go to camp. She asked you about your spiritual life. She prayed for you. She still prays for you. She prayed for you when you were little, when you were a teenager in college and first relationships, prayed for your marriage, for your career, for your spiritual growth. Even when you were walking a road of unfaith, she prayed for you and hoped and encouraged, and she rejoiced when you returned. She introduced you to God, and that's why you honor your mom. Lord, we thank you for mom. Today, brothers and sisters, we could go on and on. We could read about many other things that your mom has done for you. But I want to encourage you just along two lines today. Two things. First of all, thank God for your mom. Thank God for your mom. And I don't mean kind of the quick grab a card at Safeway kind of thank you God for mom. I mean, get on your knees, recount what she has done for you, and say, Lord, thank you for what you did. That blessing that you put in my life, that's my mom. Honor her by lifting her up to God and saying, this was a blessing. Thank you, God, for her, for giving you life, for shaping your character, introducing you to God. Now, some of you are sitting here a little bit awkward right now because your mom she maybe wasn't what I described. She wasn't the best mom. She didn't do those things you talk about, preacher. She lost her temper. She did some things and, you know, man, she went to jail for it. For you, you may need to scale back and say, but at least she gave me life. And God, thank you for that. And don't take that for granted. 47 million times since 1973. Okay? Would-be mothers chose not to give life. You can thank God that your mother said, I choose to give life to this child within me. But then I also will ask you to forgive her. Her sins, as God has forgiven you. You're not perfect. None of us are perfect. You're not perfect. Forgive her. Love her. And forgive her. The second thing I want to say, express your love to your mom. Even though it may be a little bit awkward or weird, it may be something that, especially if you're in that category I just described, hard to do, but I think you will honor God by doing that. And you'll be blessed as well. Be specific, be sincere, be thankful for your mom, and let her know that. Perhaps today has jogged your memory of some fun times with mom. Tell her about those. Some great moments when she told you one of those proverbs and stuck with you. And how it's helped you. That'll bless her life. Let her know. Because some of you are sitting here today and you're wishing you would have done that. And she's not here. And I don't want that to be true for any of us that still have our mothers around to say thank you to them. You know, they say there's stages of motherhood when we have a different attitude toward our mom. You know, at 4 years of age, my mommy can do anything. 8 years of age, my mom knows a lot. A whole lot. 12 years of age, my mother doesn't really know quite everything. 14 years of age, naturally, mother doesn't know that either. 16, mother? She's hopelessly old-fashioned. 18 years of age, that old woman, way out of date. 25, well, she might know a little bit about it. 35, before we decide, let's ask mom about that. 45, I wonder what mom would have thought about that. 65, man, I wish I could talk it over with mom. If you're blessed to still have your mom with you today, let her know that. Okay. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you today, and we are thankful for mom. We're thankful for the blessing that she has been in our life. We are thankful for what you have done, the good things you have done in us through this person that we call mom. Help us, Lord. Help us to be understanding. Help us to be forgiving. Help us to love her, even in spite of her weaknesses and her failings. Even if those failings are still very evident, help us, Father, to still honor our moms. I pray for those, Father, who are here today that they've lost their mothers this year. Dick and others that their mothers are gone. I pray for comfort and peace and a sense of blessing to fall upon them today. I pray for those, Lord, who mourn because they are not mothers and they would like to be. I pray for your peace and your comfort to come upon them. And I pray for all of us, Father, that we will truly count our blessings in our moms. It's in Christ that I pray. Amen.